Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Frank, appreciate that. Good morning. It's good to see you. For visitors, my name's Keith. I serve here at the church, so it's really great that you're with us today. Welcome. It's good. I've sensed the whole service has kind of been like a calmness about it, in the sense of just reflecting on who God is. And to be honest, I really needed that today. I've had a terrible week. And I'm not doing it for the pity. I think it's because it's a new series. I always get totally hammered, completely and utter attacked when we start a new series. We're starting a brand new series in Exodus today, which is really, really exciting. The great Exodus. Have you experienced the great Exodus that was achieved at the cross yet? Have you experienced that? The greatest Exodus ever. But to do that, we're going to go into the Old Testament book of Exodus. So for the next 25 years, we're going to look at the 40 chapters of it. I don't know. I've only planned it, God willing, up to 19. And so we'll see. But we need to pray. We do have communion. This is our building. We don't get kicked out. So don't worry. Just the chicken's fine. Let's just the Lord speak to us. And okay. So let's just pray. I want to respect your time. But also let's just ask God that we're not anxious, that we can... Just hear his voice. I need to hear that. Thank you, Lord. Just would you, in only the way you can, would you come and would you remind us of the narrative we are part of? We're just so bogged down so often by the now narrative. It's overwhelming sometimes. It takes our time. It consumes our moments. We find it hard to see you in the pressures of life. Might you lift up our eyes to the hills to see where our help comes from, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth today. Oh Lord, come in only the way you can, Holy Spirit. Would you meet us at our point of need? Would you arrest us? Would you come down? Would you comfort? Would you challenge me? Would you lead me on? Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to guess how it is you call your people to be. You give us your word preserved down the centuries. For us to freely in this country, we're amazed to open it, yet so often we don't. We know, Lord, without your word, we are dead. We thank you, Lord, that it's the word of truth that brings life as the Spirit anoints and applies it to our hearts. Take away anything from the speaker that's not from you, and leave those things that move us closer to Jesus. For any who don't know you, Lord, don't know and love the Lord Jesus today, might this be a step from death to life. Lord, we know without you, we face an eternity without you of condemnation. And that's not what we want for anybody, Lord. We pray that your Spirit will be at work and move someone from darkness to light today. So we thank you so much for this, your truth, and pray that you lift us, whether we've been serving you a day or 50 years. I pray, Lord, you'd move us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's by way of introduction. And so it's kind of an overview of a new series called Exodus. I might have a slide, I can't remember. Becoming Who We Are. I like that title. Because we can have this thing that we somehow got to do lots of things to get closer to God. You know, Paul says to the Athenians, you know, he's not far from any of you. He's not far from any of you. He's done what we need to get close to him. He sent his only son that we might know him, the Father. Now the fact I might not feel close to God has no relevance to the sense, but he does call us into a deeper journey with him as we trust him. We've called that journey discipleship over the last 18 months. We've been looking at that. It's really interesting. I didn't know Joe was going to sing that song as well. It's quite cute. I've never heard it before. Yeah. About the Lion King, because I actually wrote about the Lion King in my first verse of my message, really. Because I actually like films where the downtrodden rise up. Where the restricted, those who feel that this is their life, Somehow there's a false ceiling which the enemy puts there on all of us. He really does. This is your life. I love movies when they suddenly realize who they are and step into, they become what they are. And so that film, I've seen the theatre show, it's great, you're right, it's really, really good. Dumbo, remember that one? I've mentioned that before. They just use him to kind of be a clown. But he can fly, he's amazing, Dumbo, and I love it when he realizes and he becomes the star of the show. And I believe that God wants all of us who've trusted Jesus, who know him and love him, and he wants all of us to come to that point when we are in that sweet spot. We know who we are and where we are and why we do it. And what our purpose is in the body of Christ. We all have that. And life is so difficult. I've entitled the series, Becoming Who We Are. Notice it's not becoming who we should be. I've not titled it that. Or becoming who we might be. But becoming who we already are. Paul says, live up to what you've already attained. I often told the story about the school I went to, secondary school, where they wore blazers, and the head teacher was always going on about, live up to the badge on your blazer. Andrew Marvel High School students, do not fight on the bus. We did. Look at the badge on your blazer. Live up to what you already are. You are in. Live up to that badge. And it's interesting because next week we're going to start with a downtrodden people. I'll just kind of read a few verses that expresses how they're feeling. It's in chapter 2, but we're starting with chapter 1 next week. We should do. But Moses is kind of fled Egypt. And just these few verses in chapter 2:23. And during that long period when Moses was away, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned out in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. Don't you just want to know sometimes that the cry of your heart is heard and that he hears it? And I love Exodus because we're going to start with a downtrodden people. So often we come to church and we can be made to feel that everyone's got it together, wavy hands. Has anyone been there? I feel, you know, everyone. And then I get angry because I don't feel that way. I feel detached. I believe the Lord is seeking servants who are real, who are genuine. Several people said to me this morning, in fact, when I answered Frank first, I got it wrong. But several people asked me this morning, how are you, Keith? And I said, I've had a tough week. And I think you must have been the fourth one in, Frank. And Frank said, Keith, you all right? I went, yeah, very well. What a load of rubbish. So I was able to say, and several people said, hey, come here. Let's pray. So let's get rid of the myth of the platform speaker having it all together. Because we're on this together. We're journeying together. But you see, I'm here not because I'm good, because God is good. And because he is faithful. And even when I'm faithless, he is faithful. He's amazing. And I want to journey through Exodus with these people. Because next week we're going to start with these people who, it seems at least, when we join Exodus 1, the story they are part of, they've forgotten it. They've had 400 years, even though they're called Israelites in this narrative, they are culturally Egyptian. They're culturally Egyptian. We see this, and you know, there are some very deep cultures and behaviors in us. Even the person who comes to Jesus. It can take years and years because of cultural depth and things that have influenced us. And you know, when it comes out is when we're stressed. When we are stressed and under extreme pressure for a long time, we default to the deep behaviors that culturally formed us. It's true. That's why you'll get cross with yourself when suddenly you go, why did that come from? So later on in 32, you see that they're really worried because Moses has been a long time. And so what do they do? Go back to Egypt. I'll make a golden calf. I need some comfort. What's your comfort when Jesus doesn't seem to be around? What's your comfort this morning? And so it'd be wonderful for us to journey with these people who want to do it, want to know a call, have cried out, we've heard the cry this morning. The now narrative of Egypt is so, so hard. They're crying out to God. Sometimes it's all we can do, isn't it? To cry out to God. Is anyone there? You're there, that's wonderful. I love it when people admit that. I was chatting to someone this morning, it was wonderful, who said, you know, I've got nothing else left, this is where I've got to be. It's the best place to be. And I want to get to that place quicker. Away from self-sufficiency. Away that just runs into the arms of Jesus when he says, without me you can do nothing. And it'd be great to journey to know that we are part of a grand narrative. Not just any old story, but his story, history. The story of the God who is calling a people out, together, out of their captivity. Yet not just saving us from something. Isn't God amazing? He doesn't save us for a ticket to heaven, gospel. He saves us to himself. To get deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the journey. Not as though he's far away. It's the depth of. That's what journey's about in Jesus. He holds me. I need to know he's got me. I think Rachel was talking when she led worship the other week about just feeling the need to be close. And someone gave her a picture of being handcuffed to Jesus. Which was great for her. And over the weeks we'll see, as we journey together, it'll be a few weeks. Do catch up online. We'll see that our journey is always deeper into him. You will come and worship me on this mountain. Our journey is always and ever be, always will be, to and deeper into him. And in spite of the ups and downs, the I don't get it, I don't feel it, all of the emotions that come with just who we are. The one who faithfully calls us and draws us to himself. We'll see it through to completion. He can only ever be faithful to his own covenant promise. He doesn't lie. And the promise we see in Exodus, he's picking up that promise again. A promise he gave to Abraham way back in Genesis 12, 15, 17. You know the promise. All nations will be blessed through you, Abraham. I'm going to create a people for myself through you. It's been over 400 years since Abraham's family had been stuck in Egypt. Where's the promise now, Lord? Have you ever had a long time where you didn't hear from God? Have you ever had that? What now? Is it really true? Are you sure? And it's a promise that he's fulfilling and will fulfill. And you know, we're still on that narrative ourselves. Remember Revelation 7, where we're heading? With that great multitude from many nations before the throne, singing worthy is the Lamb. Amen. I want to be there right now. Come back, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Yet before that, there's work to do. There's lots of things to do in Exodus, and as we journey, and we'll see ourselves in some weeks, and we'll just mirror what I pray the Spirit will apply it to us. There's perspective to be gained. The people are bogged down, 400 years of Egyptian culture, crying out, work's too hard, it's work and work and work. I know the feeling sometimes, do you? Just relentless narrative of the family and everything else. How hard is it? That there's perspective to be gained. The Lord's going to shape us. James talks about considering it pure joy. I'm not there yet, by the way. Don't know about you. Consider it pure joy when all sorts of things come your way. Because the Lord's shaping you. Like a loving father would. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. So there's work to be done, there's fire and desert and setbacks and healings and hope. All that we might become who we are in him. But the thing is, you know, it's not just our children in the back of the car who don't like journey, it's us as well. Are we there yet? We hate journey. I would suggest that nearly the vast majority of scripture is about journey. and not decisions and landing, and in and out and black and white. This is really tricky. We need the Spirit's guidance. That's why he provides a lamp for my feet, not a headlight for the next 50 years. And so I want to love Scripture more, Frank. Thanks for challenging us. I want to love Scripture more because this is a lamp for my feet, your word. And if I don't look down often enough, I'm going to be all over the place. And what a great book, Exodus, for us to be journeying with. I'm excited about this, I am. I don't know if I look excited, but I am genuinely excited about it. Exodus, a going out, mass departure of people. Call it exit, that's what it means. Exodus through the centuries has been mightily used. Can I say the book of Exodus has been mightily kind of misused as well? Because there's this massive temptation with the story of Exodus just to make it all about me. I'm the oppressed. I'm the downtrodden. I'm the one that God's on my side. Nothing to do with my obedience or anything like that. So it's been massively misused. And pray that the Spirit of God, we will open Exodus out faithfully as the Spirit leads us and guides us over. And please challenge me. And I love Exodus. It reveals the name of God, the God who can be known, revealing God's way of salvation through the weeks, underlying God's nature as holy. Man's nature is not so, really, is it? It speaks of a necessity of blood and of sacrifice. It shows us grace, Exodus. Wonderful grace. I could sit with grace all day. I need grace today. It shows the detail of how a loving God sought us and pursued us. And he's not satisfied to simply save us, but he wants to be intrinsically involved with us on our journey deeper into him. Who's so faithful. The book will move from a lost, distant people. Do you feel that this morning? Absorbed in the culture of the now, to a God who so deeply desires to dwell in their midst. Seen in the final chapters of Tabernacle, the God in the midst of his people. That's where I always want to be. But I also pray that we'll feel the tension. There is a tension of God's holiness and our rebellion, and our rebellious nature. As he calls us, yet by how he sets the terms by which we approach him. It's God's ball. It's his way. It's a book of freedom, yes. I love Exodus. It's a book of freedom. That's why it's been misused down the centuries with all sorts of what you'd call liberation theology. God's going to set us free. It's a book of freedom, yes. But to a new master, a new boss. Releasing a people who were slaves, building cities for Pharaoh, but released to build a tabernacle for their new master. The book finishes and ends with building. The Egyptians, the Israelites building cities for Pharaoh, then building the tabernacle. I love that. Because what house am I building, really? Unless the Lord builds it, you see. Wasting our time. And I can spend an awful lot of time trying to build Pharaoh's house and city. And it ends with the same people in that tent dwelling for their God. As enslaved as we are released for new service. Paul can say this, I've said it before. You are no longer your own, you were bought at a price. And here in Exodus, the price was the blood of the lamb smeared on the doorpost in chapter 12. We'll see that in the Exodus, the chapter which takes the whole book title. Yet for us today, still called out. Called out to become who we are, permanently covered in the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus, who Paul to the Corinthians can call our great Passover Lamb. 1 Corinthians 5. Our great Passover Lamb. Once and for all. So we might say that our series will encourage us to become who we are, But equally, I pray it will encourage us to see our great God for who he is. My service is sharpened when I see him. I have a greater picture of him. We were looking at Job in our life group this week. The tragedy of a life there. 37 chapters of tragedy and questions and debate and dialogue. And 38 to 42. With no answer to a single question, Job sees something of the wonderful nature and character of God and is totally, completely satisfied. I want that soul sufficiency, like Paul, who can say, I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances, whether well-fed or hungry, in plenty or in need. That soul sufficiency of Job that says, I repent in dust and ashes. I know my life, what's happened, but Lord, I see you now. Before I'd heard of you, but now I see you. I want to see God for who he really is through this series. Don't you? I really do. I need to see him. When I see a sharp image of him, I pale away. It ceases to be about me. It just ceases to me to be about worship and about him and about, oh, Lord, I can't believe it, how amazing you are. It's wonderful. So we'll see next week. Our Forgotten Story is the title. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through every week. A people, not even a nation at this stage, they don't become constituted until chapter 19, 20, Ten Commandments. They're called Israelites, but they're not a nation as such. We might call them a people of promise. I prefer that, actually. We're a people of promise today, aren't we? People of promise. They're there. Who have long been absorbed and soaked in their culture. And as I've said, we'll see it rear its head in Exodus 32. We often don't think about the water we are swimming in. We'll ask questions about culture. Is it good? What about the culture of our day? What's happening to the church of our time? We're filling halls to entertain people that are 10 miles wide and an inch deep. It saddens my heart. I want to go deeper with the Lord. I want to be so close that I hear that voice. Like Philip, I know what chariot to go to. That one. I know when someone's reading Isaiah 53. I know what's going on. Lord, please give me that relationship with you. But you're going to have to drag me out of my narrative and culture, Lord, to do that. Because I'm soaked in it. And I'm so soaked in it, I can't even recognize it. The Lord's good at this, though. He's done this before. He can do it again. And so in chapter 1, God's people soaked in Egyptian culture under Pharaoh will be called out to serve a new king. And in chapter 2, we'll see that playing our part matters. It's not just about Moses and the crowd. Playing our part matters. Although predominantly about a people, for sure, our individual contribution is significant as we consider how God shapes Moses in his school. Did you know God's got a school? And you're in it if you're a Christ follower today. And he's not going to let you flunk or dodge one session or shaping lesson in your life. One of my favorite books, Men from God's School, J. Oswald Sanders. Brilliant book. In my top 5. Bible's first, of course. Really good. Just how he shapes us for his ministry, for his calling. We'll be encouraged to reflect on how our experiences and journeys may have prepared us for a time such as this. How many people, as soon as something happens, do you want to say, Lord, take this away? Take this away. Many of us have kept it with the narrative and story of Naomi for years now. It's been a long time, probably way before my time. Yeah, it's been just, I thought it was longer than that. Yeah. And would we choose that as a parent? No, not in your life. Is it heartbreaking? Yes. Is God working in the situation? Right, yes. And sometimes I can't see it, but I want to pray, Lord, don't take this away, but just show me what you're saying to me and how you're shaping me in this. And that's a harder prayer, because I actually really, in brackets, but take it away fairly quickly, if you could. But he's shaping us into the likeness of his Son. With our rejections and our doubts and our fears and our not knowings, for we have a great high priest who is able to empathize with us, who was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Isn't he amazing? King Jesus. So chapter 3, don't worry, there's 40 chapters, we're not going to be here till doomsday, if you believe in that. Whilst we can rejoice in God's initiative, we are called to participate with him. The conversation starts, great, Moses, guess what I'm going to do? I've seen the misery of my people. I'm going to. Moses, yes, Lord, please do it. Great, I can't wait. And I'm sending you to, oh gosh, downhill. And then 3 to 5, we'll see the biggest list of excuses you will ever, ever read in scripture from an individual not to do something. It's covers two and a bit chapters of complete complaint, and I just cannot do this. I don't think too small's in there, but he says I can't speak very well and everything else, but you know. There's a lot of them. Write them all down. It might be actually, probably stature. But we'll be challenged to remind ourselves just who it is we are serving. See that in your hand, Moses. What is it that the Lord's put to your hand, Christian? Look at what I've given you. Look at that gifting and throw it down in my service. We'll be looking at how the Lord uses us and works through our personal objections. I'm excited about people who don't get it. I'm excited about people who ask lots of questions. Neutral is not good. Nice word is not good. The word of God for me either relates my soul or it causes me to wrestle and to feel, you feel it there. Sometimes it doesn't go down, does it? It sticks there in your heart. And so we'll see that the Lord works through our personal objections, external opposition that can so often rear its head when we determine to serve and follow him. I'd ask you to pray for our leadership team. They've been bashed. Ever since we started saying, look, you know, it's really important that we follow Jesus closely. We need to make close followers who make close followers disciples. As soon as we start getting serious, getting together, praying and it's relentless. And these are good, good people who need uplifting. They're not super saints. They're people who are frail and need encouragement from all of us. Hebrews writer asks us, doesn't he, to do that. Don't make it a burden. And a lot of it is external. I'm not saying it's all here. It's that this is a great place. But so often with illness and just family and all sorts of things, it's heartbreaking. It really is. So it's going to take us, even though we're looking at a series called Exodus, it's going to take us till around February to get to the Exodus. Sorry. Chapter 12. That's quite a long way, isn't it? Quite a long way away. Rosemary completely understands why that would be so. You wouldn't want us to get to it next week, would you? I mean, that would be crumbs. What are you doing? The event the book takes its name from. So up to then you could say we'll be going through the necessary heartache, the questioning, the challenges and the preparation and the doubts. Often all part of us moving forward. That's what they are. Those things we was chatting on Friday, weren't we? That's part of it, isn't it? Saying, well, what is this about? In fact, essential. Yeah, I'd say so. We were just chatting and saying it's so important to really feel and be able to have to be relaxed enough in a relationship to say, I don't get this. We're not performing to each other. And I often find those times move us on when we hit a brick wall. And they move us on. And as we emerge out of the Red Sea, which will be the end of February, we'll see the importance of rehearsing our story in chapter 13. So the Exodus narrative is probably the central narrative that is rehearsed. Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. Isaiah talks about it. Jeremiah talks about it. The prophets talk about it. Remember the Exodus. So many different things going on. And it's important too that we need to remind ourselves of the works of our great God. The great things he has done. And that's why we come together. One of the reasons we meet. We do this just in a few minutes. In remembrance of me. Can you imagine Jesus taking something like the Exodus story, so central to the faith of his day, and then projecting it completely onto himself and saying, do you know that all you've been celebrating all these years was always about me, and I want you to celebrate this in a new way, whenever you do this, in remembrance of me, achieving the greatest Exodus ever at Calvary. It's amazing, the Bible. And in 15 and 16, I'm nearly through for today. They will underpin our daily dependence on the great God we serve and love. Not a salvation-only story. You're across the Red Sea, you're in. See you later. But his daily care, provision, and our daily need for him will be our focus for that give us this day our daily bread. That life-giving bread, that daily nourishment, his spiritual nourishment with the manna and the quail and all sorts of things. And then as we lead into 1920, we start to see a people taking shape. And my prayer is we will shadow individually and collectively a people who start to see who we really are in Jesus Christ. And that, not self-confidence, but a spiritual confidence. In a sense, a quiet, humble kind of depth will settle into each of us that we can say, Lord, I know whom I believed. I know you're able. Whatever the weather or circumstance, Lord, you are God. And that, Lord, I can face all things through Christ. Do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. We'll start to take identity in 19 and 20, who know the story. Imagine knowing the story we're part of, constantly reminding ourselves of the great narrative that God is bringing a people to himself. He's going to redeem the whole planet. He's coming back, and we're going to stand before him one day. Hallelujah. What a great project. What a great story to be part of. We'll know who our ultimate boss is, yet still a people with a lot of, up to that point, from 20 onwards, and we'll have to look at that, see how that goes. Still a people with a lot of desert in front of us, a lot of challenges and dark chapters ahead. But out of which there will raise one second Moses. Out of this absolute shambles. This no hope at the beginning. The people are working hard, absorbed in Egyptian culture, crying out to God, will come a second Moses. Isn't that incredible? Why? How does God do this? How can he use my life that breaks apart? How can he use a people like this? Isn't it wonderful? And you're part of that if you love Jesus today. And if you don't, he wants you to be. He calls you to. Somehow against all the struggle, one will rise up whose sandals we are unworthy to touch. Incredible. The great I Am will become flesh and dwell amongst us. Who'd come down the mountain from 19 and 20. Allow us to touch him and know him and even crucify him. How is that? What sort of plan is that? What sort of plan? That loved me so much that he sent his one and only son. That I might know him. For everything I've ever done. Past, present and future. That I might know him in the security of being his child. I can't get my head around that. That he loves me that much. And he even allowed us to crucify him. And in that mess, declare it as an expression of his amazing love and providence. Luke can tell us in chapter 9 of his gospel, when Jesus and Moses and Elijah were stood on that Mount of Transfiguration, all the story coming together, they spoke of the great exodus Jesus would achieve at Jerusalem. Isn't God clever? Isn't he amazing? I love him. And I'm so grateful he loves me. Because sometimes I'm not very lovable. I don't know about you. I fall out with myself. Anybody else? They spoke about the Exodus, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. So if you're feeling today overwhelmed by life, soaked in the world of social media, life, pace of everything, absorbed in the culture of our day, not sure what God has been up to or is up to, it's been quiet for a while, 400 years here, there is hope, great hope for you and I. I hope you'll journey with us. Look up, not down. And I pray that we'll have the wisdom and vision to help each other do this. We're going to need to do this together, this journey. There's no point in me racing off at the front or even lagging behind. Let's help each other do this. And I think we'll become a people who realize who they really are. Whether that's a reflection in, I don't think it'll be in the river with Zimba's dad. I think it'll be a reflection in scripture. But it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? That you see. As we reflect in scripture, we'll see who we are. And I pray we'll become who we are. And I pray that the journey will end with you and with I, with a new consciousness. A new consciousness. A reality of the indwelling God who loves you so very, very much. Who is the ultimate exodus and has demonstrated his incredible love for you, costing him his only son, Jesus, our Passover lamb, that we might know him and be in that ultimate dwelling with him, like at the end of Exodus. Imagine being there. John tells us we're going to be as we keep following. In Revelation 21, I read this often, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And it's true. Because he who was seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. And in case you forget, he said, John, write this down. Write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. The journey will be worth it. So my deep desire now as we come to communion, the great exodus we celebrate, is that we will truly become who we are over our times together. We'll know the story we're part of. Be released from our oppression. From the trappings of the culture that enslaves us. To trust the God who loves us. And has given us a way out that we might serve him and help others to do the same. Isn't God amazing? Shall we pray together? As we say, I think we're going to sing as well a song. Jesus, draw me ever near. Let me pray, and then we'll sing as we prepare the communion table. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful narrative. Lord, we realize it's a narrative of hope, a promise. Yet, Lord, it's a narrative of great pain, of reality, of day to day, of struggle, of questioning, of doubting, of two steps forwards and one step back. It's a narrative, Lord, where we just let you down, yet you are faithful even when we are faithless. Thank you, Lord, that you who began the Exodus in us will see it through. completion. I thank you for the journeys we've heard in this room. Thank you that we can pray. I thank you for Naomi's journey. It's been hard. Lord, we thank you that you are journeying. You're with her. Use your people, we pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that she can see you. Help us, Lord, to see beyond the now and to know that with you, all things are possible. Minister to us, Holy Spirit, through this song as we celebrate the ultimate exodus achieved through the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. Might you get the glory as we look up to see where our help comes from. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.